Say again, we appreciate our visitors. Appreciate every one of them coming up to be with us. The Lord has been good to us. He's still being good to us. We are still trying to reach out and do something for the Lord. I don't know whether the people down in Griffin can get Channel 36 or not. The signal goes out pretty far. But we were on 46 for a while. I don't know just how far it reached out. They got it over in the valley of Alabama. It's on there for about a year, and we're on 36. If they can get it down there, we'd like for them to watch when they're not in service. We're on about 5 different TV stations across the nation, from Pennsylvania all over to Salem, Indiana, and we're on about 41 radio stations now throughout the United States. We're on the big station XCRF again. We haven't been on there in a good long while. Been on XCRF a number of times and stayed on many months at a time. But we haven't been on for quite a while until just recently. And we're on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and then on Sunday evening, which really gives us 6 days a week. Those that listen in to XCRF, preaching the gospel, and the Big Gun of Dixie, I believe, goes down into Griffin. We're on 5 days a week, the Big Gun of Dixie. You that can hear it, we invite you to listen in. The Lord has blessed us. We're stretching out a little bit now over in Honolulu, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico. Some stations around about. And they're pressing in on our publication. Many thousands of publication, printed pages, they're going out. Numbers of languages, they're still pressing in on the languages. We're getting different languages into foreign countries, some of them with a regularity. Our Braille for the Blind, we're getting a real respond to our Braille for the Blind. We've got our Braille for the Blind in quite a number of translations, that is foreign languages. And we're still trying to do all we can on the home front, still working overseas in our personal evangelism in places like Haiti, Europe, and different places in the islands, Jamaica. And then we're not forgetful of our tent work that we love so much. We're still pressing in on our tent work, trying to do everything we can. As Paul said, doing the work of an evangelist to make full proof of our ministry. We want to make full proof of our ministry because we want to do all we can in trying to fulfill the great commission of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And if you can help us, if you can work with us, if you can help us on our way, encourage us, pray for us, we certainly invite you to do so. We entreat you to stand by us. And we make mention of these things from time to time to let you know that we're trying to do something for God, that we have a vision, and if you're interested, then you can be partakers of the benefits of God if you want to go with us. Some, I realize, will never be partakers because they have no interest in spiritual things. They do not care to be partakers in spiritual things. They would like to have the benefits of heaven. So would Satan. He would certainly love to have the benefits of heaven, but he's definitely not interested in aiding the kingdom of God. How many of you believe that Satan would like to have the benefits of heaven? Let me see your hand. But how many of you know that he's not interested in doing anything for the kingdom of God or for heaven? A lot of people in the world today that are associates of Satan, they're very much interested in heaven to the extent that they're very religious, like Cain was. But they're not interested in aiding the kingdom of God. They're doing anything for the kingdom of God, for the poor, the lost, or anybody else. But the only way to get in is to do something for God. They shall rest from their labor and be rewarded according to their works. If you do the things of the world, you frolic, follow the frolics of the world, follow after the things of the world, do the things of the world, love the present world, have an interest in the things of the world, you can be assured of one thing, that if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there, and you're going to be rewarded according to your works, no matter what you say, no matter what you think, no matter what a preacher tells you, no matter what you hope, no matter what you believe. That's what the Bible says. And that's the only faith there is. A lot of people, they get misput by saying, well, Brother Pike, I believe. You believe this, and I believe that, and somebody else believes the other. And we just all believe our own thing and our own way, and we'll just all go along together. It's my job as a minister, being sent from God, I'm here to tell you one thing. There is no such thing with God. There is one faith, just one faith, not many faiths, not many churches, just one church. Just one church, one salvation, that's all. One Lord, just one Lord, one faith, one God. Not many baptisms, just one baptism. Now, therefore, I can assure you tonight that there's but one faith. And when you say you believe one way and another believes another way and another believes another way, I want you to know that somebody is wrong, because there's not a half a dozen believings. There's only one believing, and that is the faith that cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. Doesn't matter what you think or what somebody told you or what you believe. Brother, sister, there's but one faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, you believe it, because that's faith. If you believe anything outside of the Word of God, it doesn't matter how you feel about it or what you think about it. It's of no advantage to you whatsoever, because it is not faith. It's just your carnal concept of what you think. But faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And the Bible said, or the Word of God, it teaches that they will be rewarded according to their works. For God shall reward every man according as his work shall be. Have faith in those words, and you've got faith in God. For in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word still is God, the same to every generation. Yesterday, today, and forever, the same to you, to me, all that's in the past, all that will ever be in the future. He's God, the Word. In the beginning, he was the Word. Today, he's still the Word. Faith in that God, that's the only faith there is. Salvation is in none of the name but the name Jesus. I want to talk to you just a little bit from the book of St. Luke, chapter 10, reading from the 17th verse. I think we'll read some of the first verse of the 10th chapter here. I didn't read this today. We were making our program for Channel 36 today, and we ministered from this portion of Scripture. The Lord gave it to me, and I felt to deal with it again tonight. I had just gotten under the anointing, whereas we only have 30 minutes on TV, and I had to stop right there as the anointing was just beginning to get started. But I felt to deal with it again tonight. Chapter 10, St. Luke, first verse of the 10th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth the laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lamb among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And to whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such thing as they give, things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see these things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy strength, and with all of thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Then he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. You know, right here is a wonderful, wonderful text. I hope you got time to listen a few minutes. And the first, I felt to minister to you. And then afterwards, I said, no. Service being a little lengthy, I won't minister tonight. I'll just have a testimony or two. And maybe I'll call on our brother Webster, and he'll say some good things. And after that, we'll just bless the people and say a word or two and go home. But Brother Webster didn't say but a few words, and he went back and sat down. So I felt that maybe the Lord wanted us to go ahead and minister to you tonight. Now, I know it's uncomfortable, but if you was home, it would be uncomfortable too. You are in the house of the Lord. And it is getting cooler outside. The sunshine is leaving. And it's not even night yet. So it's not real late. Now I've got time to talk to you a little bit about Jesus. I want you to notice something here tonight. The Bible said that Jesus chose 70 people. And he took those 70 people. And he said, I want you to be with me. I want you to work with me. And so then he commissioned them, and he sent them forth to do something for God. And they went forth working for God. And as they went forth, God God began to bless them. And God began to do something for them. And after a while, they returned to the Lord Jesus. And they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. Lord, when we pray the prayer of faith, and we call the name of Jesus, why, even the devils take notice. And even the devils are subject unto us in your name, Lord. Jesus, he listened. And no doubt Jesus was excited. The move of God was on. Devils was being cast out. Great, mighty things was taking place. And I'm sure that Jesus was excited as he saw the kingdom of God being established in the earth. But Jesus said unto them, don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather I say unto you, rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. Oh, my brother and sister tonight, God was saying through the mouth of Jesus, if you only knew, he was saying, what it means to escape the burning lake of fire, if you 70 only understood the fury of God in the burning lake of fire, if you understood what it means to be cut off eternally, to never have another chance, to never have another opportunity, why, you wouldn't rejoice over spirits being subject to you, but you'd be so thankful, you'd be so glad to know that you'd never go into the lake of fire, that you wouldn't be cut off from God. Oh, he said, don't rejoice because you have power over the spirit. But he said, rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. He said, be thankful because you don't have to be cut off out of the presence of God and go into the lake of fire. Be thankful that God has considered you. For I remember on one occasion when he spoke of Judas, he said it been better if that man had never been born into the world. The one that betrayed the Son of Man, he said, I say unto you that it would have been better if he had never been born into this world. Oh, tonight, if you've made contact with God, if you've had a born again experience with God, if you know that you've lived that overcoming life and God has heard your prayer, and you know that your name is written down in heaven, my brother, sister, tonight you've got something to rejoice over. Just because you've been able to cast out a devil, that doesn't mean that you're going to be saved. That doesn't mean you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. But there's one thing about it. If your names are written in the Lamb's book of life tonight, then you've got something to rejoice over. Because you are an eternal creature. You are eternally alive. You are eternally rich. Eternally strong. Eternally healthy. You are a God. Someone that cannot die. Someone that can never pass away. Someone that will last throughout the endless ages. Thus Jesus said, rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, if we could get a hold of that tonight, how wonderful it would be. Jesus said unto the 70, behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you power. I want you to have power. I don't want you to rejoice over the power that I give you over the spirits. I want you to rejoice over the fact that I've spilt my blood at Calvary and that I have written your names down in the Lamb's book of life and that you're saved from sin and death. But I do want you to know that I've given you power. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. But I want you to notice something, friend. They said, Lord, the devils are subject unto us in your name. I think this is one of the greatest mistakes that the church world of today is making. They preach that devils are subject unto us. They put out their doctrine and they tell people that they've got power over the devil. But I want you to notice that Jesus emphasized one thing in the scriptures here, that the power over devils was in the name of Jesus Christ. You can preach power over devils as long as you want to. And you can shout and speak in tongues and you can say that you got power with God. But brothers and sisters, unless you realize that the devils are subject to the name of Jesus, you don't have anything. It is emphasized here that the spirits are subject unto us through the name of Jesus. What the church world needs to understand is that there is a reason for emphasizing the name of Jesus in the church. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, why do you have to talk about the name of Jesus? Why not just talk about the Word of God? My beloved friend, how can you talk about the Word of God without talking about the name of Jesus? The Bible said, and the Word was made flesh, and His name was called Jesus. You cannot talk about the Word of God without talking about Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus. You know, the devil, he'd love for us to talk about anything but the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? But devils are not subject to the Word of God unless it's got the name on it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Oh, somebody would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, the devils are subject to the Word of God regardless. How is it then that the devil quoted the Word of God to Jesus? And the Bible said they've taken the Word of God and changed it into a lie. How did they change the Word of God into a lie? How did devils change the Word of God into a lie? Did you know there's preachers all over the world today preaching the Word of God? But did you know they've changed it into a lie? And they've got them some great kind of ministry, whether it be a deliverance ministry or whatever, but they're sidestepping the name of Jesus Christ. And my brother, devils are making havoc out of them. I want you to know that you can transform your mind and you can preach the Word of God even if you are a devil. The Bible speaks of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The ministers of Satan, they can renew their mind and be transformed and preach the Word of God. But I'll tell you something that they won't mess with, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. And they'll talk about the Spirit, and they'll talk about anything you want to talk about. But I'll tell you one thing, you start talking about the name of Jesus, and they'll change the subject. You know why? Devils are subject to the name of Jesus. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't see the importance of the name. But nevertheless, God said in the Old Testament, I have not chosen you because you are a great people. I have not chosen you because you're more than anybody else in number. He said, you're certainly not great in the sense you are a rebellious people. He said, you're certainly not the greatest in multitude because you are smaller than the other nations. But I want you to know, God said, that I have chosen you to make a name for myself. Is that right? That was the purpose of God in the earth, was to make a name for himself. God would not let Israel worship anything. God would not let Israel worship the stars.
though it was the handiwork of God. He called them witches, those that worship the stars. He would not let Israel worship any kind of image. But brother, one day God sent his own express image, Jesus Christ, into the world. And he gave Israel a name to worship. And Israel rejected the name. And God rejected Israel. And did you know today that if you reject the name of Jesus Christ, though you might be a religious people, God rejects you. If God rejected Israel, who fasted and prayed, who followed God in all of the commandments of the Old Testament, because they rejected the name Jesus, I want you to know that he'll reject you though you are a religious body today. You might do all the things that a religious body would do. But beloved friend, if you reject the name of Jesus, you've lost your salvation. The Bible said there's salvation in none other name except the name of Jesus Christ. Why is it that the devil don't want us to preach the name of Jesus Christ? Because he doesn't want people to have salvation. As long as he can keep them from preaching the name of Jesus Christ, he can keep salvation away from the people. He doesn't care how churchy you are. But oh, beloved friend, we're going to preach the name of Jesus. The Bible said that they were preaching down in Samaria, and they were preaching the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. What kind of message did they have? They preached this kind of message that you should repent, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And you should repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might enter into the kingdom of God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That was the two things that was preaching. They were preaching. There's the door open in heaven, as I said this morning. God has looked down from heaven. His son hung at Calvary. The veil was rent in twain. And today there is a door that is open. That door is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door to the sheepfold. Jesus said, if any man climb up any other way, the same as a thief, and he's a robber. He'll be bound hand and feet, and he'll be cast into the outer darkness. He said, I counsel of you to buy of me raiment that's tried in the fire. You know the only kind of raiment there is that's tried in the fire? The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only body, that's the only raiment that ever went through the flames of hell and was tried in the fire. That made it through the burning flames of hell. That's why Paul in the Revelation said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Use him for raiment, because he's the wedding garment. Not being found with your own righteousness, but with the righteousness of the Son of God. Hallelujah. I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us in your name. Even the devils are subject unto us in your name. He said, don't rejoice because of that. Just be glad that your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. My brother, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. And the Bible said he stayed there for many days. He wrestled with Satan. He conquered the flesh. He never stopped. He overcame this man of temptation. He overcame the weakness of the flesh. He put these appetites, these desires, these passions, these human senses, he put them in their place. He brought them into subjection to the Spirit. God did it in the body of Jesus Christ. He mastered it. The Lord mastered it. Jesus did it. And the Bible said that he returned in the power of the Spirit. When he mastered the flesh, he came back in the power of the Spirit. And I'll tell you, every other person that masters this fleshly body will return in the power of the Spirit. The Bible tells us that when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, then shall you receive power. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. Did you know that one of the powers of the enemy is death? Did you know that we've got power over the enemy of death tonight? Did you know that when God said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, he wasn't just talking about sickness and affliction. He was talking about death. We have power over death tonight. Hallelujah. We've got power over death tonight. We have power over every sickness tonight, every affliction tonight. God has granted it to the church. The Lord returned in the power of the Spirit. When the 70 came back rejoicing, they said, Lord, even the spirits are subject unto us in your name. But you know where the problem is today? The church wants to get around the name Jesus. They don't care if you call them Baptists. They don't care if you call them Methodists. They don't care if you call them Church of God. They don't care if you call them Pentecostal. They don't care if you call them Catholic. They don't care what you call them. But the Bible said, them that are called by my name. He didn't say anything about the Baptists. He didn't say anything about saving the Methodists. He didn't say anything about saving the Catholic. You know, you can say something about the Baptist, the Methodist, the Catholic, the Church of God, the Pentecostals, and somebody will get upset. Did you know that? Say something about the UPC, and somebody gets upset. Somebody will say, my granddaddy belonged to that. My grandmother belonged to that. Why, I've been in that all my life. But brother, I want you to know tonight, there's only one people that's called by the name of Jesus. You know who they are? Christians. The name Jesus Christ. The word Christian comes from Christ. Jesus Christ. And the Bible said they were first called Christians at Antioch. Those that are called Christians. Not because you call yourself a Christian, but because somebody can see Christ in your life and they call you a Christian. You say, who is that person? They belong to the Baptist church. Who is that person? They go to Little Bethlehem. Come on, folks. Who is that person across the street? Well, they belong to the Church of God. What about that other one? They belong to the UPC. Well, what about this fellow over here? Well, that's different. He's a Christian. He's a Christian. You understand what I mean? When those that are called by the name of the Lord begin to call upon the name of the Lord, when they begin to repent, it isn't going to take the whole world repenting to get God's favor. God isn't expecting the world to repent. The world is never going to repent. But he said, them that are called by my name, he said, if they'll get straightened out, they're the salt of the earth. I'll straighten things out in the earth if that group will get straightened out. That's where the power of God is. That's where the name of Jesus is. That's where the kingdom of God is. John said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Where is the tabernacle of God? The Christian. For you're the temples of the Holy Ghost. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, God is tabernacling in you today. If you're a real blood-bought, genuine child of God, Christ is tabernacling in you today. Brother, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you've received power. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't have any power. But I know I've got the Holy Ghost. Why, there's never been a man that had the Holy Ghost that didn't have power. There's never been a woman that ever had the Holy Ghost that didn't have power. Did you know that? The Bible said you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Somebody say, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But the original rendering of the text is when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So then the Holy Ghost is power. Can you deny that the Holy Ghost is power? How do you believe that the Holy Ghost is the power of God? So then when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the power of God. How do you believe that? How many of you tonight's got the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. Now you don't believe you really got power, do you? Everybody that believes you got power, let me see your hand. All right, must be some believers in the crowd. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you got the Holy Ghost, brother, you got power. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of sickness, all the powers of the enemy. What God wants us to do is believe in the Spirit of God. But we're going to have to call on the name of Jesus Christ. God is expecting us tonight to call upon the name of the Son of God. We need to magnify the name of Jesus and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. We don't need to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. We need to talk about the name of Jesus Christ. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Oh, he said, let me tell you something. To as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to as many as believed on his name. Isn't that right? To as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to as many as believed on his name. That's what we got to do, is believe on the name of the Son of God. Brother, to as many as believe on the name of the Son of God, he gave them power. Do you believe on the name of the Son of God tonight? The man said, Lord, who is he that I should believe? He said, this is him that you're talking to. Canst thou believe in the name of the Son of God? For to as many as believed on the name of the Son of God, to them gave he power. To them gave he power. To as many as believed on his name, he said, I give you power to become the sons of God. Even to as many as believe on my name. Brother, sister, we need to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said there is salvation in none other name. It doesn't say that salvation is in the Word of God. Somebody say amen. It doesn't say salvation is in the Word of God. So far as the printed page, so far as the vocal expression, it doesn't say that. The Word of God, yes, if it's named Jesus. The Word of God when it's recognized as God. But as a doctrine, as a tutoring, it can't help you, my brother. It's got to be in the name of Jesus. When the Bible said he sent his word and healed them, what did he do? He sent Jesus and healed them. And the Bible said he who Jesus went about doing good, healing all. Isn't that right? Somebody say, but Jesus is not here today and his word is doing it. The Bible said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Still doing the same thing, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, my brother, there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. But what we've got to do is identify that blood. It's like I said today, there's blood of bulls, there's blood of goats, there's blood of people. There's blood of soldiers. Many soldiers have spilt their blood on the battlefield. But there is no blood that can atone for sin. There has never been any blood that can atone for sin. There will never be any blood that can atone for sin. There is but one blood that can atone for sin, even the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And whose blood is it? The Lord Jesus Christ's blood. That's why the Bible said that remission of sin shall be taught in his name. Remission of sin must be taught in the name of Jesus. Why? Because it's his blood that was spilled. It's Christ's blood, not somebody else's blood. My brother, you must be identified with that blood. Somebody said, but I believe. Glory to God, I believe. I want you to know that you don't believe in that blood unless you're identified with that blood. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I believe in the Word of God that identifies me with the blood. The Bible said salvation is in none other name except the name of Jesus. The only way to be identified with that blood is to be identified with the name of Jesus Christ. When you're identified with the name of the Son of God, then you're identified with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it is the blood of Jesus. It is His precious blood. We sang the song, it is the blood, the precious blood that stained the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There has never been any other blood that could take away sin. But my brother, tonight, the blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat prevailing for you and for me. And we can be free from sin tonight through the name of Jesus. For the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Hallelujah. The man said, Paul, be baptized. Wash away your sins, son, calling on the name of Jesus. Calling on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Calling on the name of Jesus. Why? Because there is remission of sin in His name. And salvation is in none other name except the name of Jesus. Therefore, remission of sin shall be taught in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, do you hear it, my brother? Do you hear it, my sister? You talk about doctrines. You talk about religion. God isn't interested in doctrines and religions. God isn't interested in it. God is interested in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the only name in which there is salvation. There is salvation in none other name. There is no salvation in doctrines. There is no salvation in churches. There is no salvation in organizations. It doesn't matter how famous the speaker is. There is no salvation in his sermons. He might be a deliverance preacher. He might preach under the tent. He might preach on television. He might jump up and down. He might be the greatest preacher you ever heard in your life. But oh, my brother, sister, there's no salvation in his sermon. Salvation is in none of the name but the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Therefore, remission of sin shall be taught. Can you understand that tonight, brother, sister? Brother Pike, you are a teacher. Paul said, I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. You are a teacher. Salvation is in his name. Remission of sin, O teacher, must be taught in his name. Paul said, if any man think himself to be spiritual, if any man think himself to be a preacher, if any man think himself to have a gift, if any man think himself to be somebody, if any man think himself to be a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of God. Salvation shall be taught in the name of Jesus, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, my brother, I'm teaching you tonight salvation in the name of Jesus, because Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, and even the devils are subject to us in your name. Hallelujah. Jesus said, don't rejoice over that. But my brother, rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. And the devils are subject unto us in your name, Jesus. And the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. He already had the power. He already had the Holy Ghost. Come on, folks. I said Jesus had the Holy Ghost when he went into the wilderness. He already had the power when he went into the wilderness. Come on. You said that the Holy Ghost is the power of God. Isn't that right? He had the Holy Ghost when he went into the wilderness. The Bible said he was led of the Holy Ghost to the Spirit into the wilderness. But see, the difference is the Bible said that he returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. What is the difference, Brother Pike? Oh, my brother, there's a difference in it. What is that difference? The little woman pressed in and said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be whole. And the Bible says, Jesus speaking, I perceive that virtue has gone out of my body. He said, who touched me? Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. If anything have any virtue in them. You know the thing that caused the divine conception? It was because Mary was filled with virtue. She separated herself. That's what's wrong with the church today. They won't separate themselves from the world. They can't get that divine conception today. God's looking for that little spiritual virgin today. That one that's set apart. That one that's sanctified. That one that's holy. That one that's godly. That one that's walking in all the light of God. Hallelujah. That one that's saying, oh my Lord, be it unto thine handmaid even as thou hast spoken. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, Mary, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. And that thing that is conceived within thee, that holy thing shall be of God. Oh, God, be it unto thy handmaid, even as thou hast said. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Ramandoriando Rabashira Bariando Rabos Andoriandaramos Chandoros. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel his presence here tonight. What we need is the virtue of God. What we need is to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all of our sins, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah! We sang that song, he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. I'll enter his courts with thanksgiving. I'll enter his gates with praise because he hath made me glad. Oh, God hath made me glad tonight. Hallelujah. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify God. My soul doth magnify God. My beloved friend, when you get this divine conception of the Son of God in your heart, oh, your soul will magnify God. Your cup will run over. What a happy moment when you feel this inspiration that comes from the Most High. And they said, Lord, the devils are subject unto us in your name. Oh, he said to them, behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you power. Hallelujah. You've got power. I give unto you power. My brother, sister, what we need to do is to yield these vessels. Yield these vessels. You know what? My people have committed two sins. They've committed two sins. They've hewed them out cisterns, even broken cisterns that won't hold water. And they've forsaken the living God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The Bible said, my people have forgotten me days without number. You know why they've forgotten him? They got to make a dollar. Somebody say amen. Amen. I said they're too busy getting rich. They're too busy paying on their nice vehicles. They've got to have a nice home like the Joneses or somebody else. They're so busy doing their thing and getting comfortable in life that they don't have time to do nothing for God. Somebody say amen. Oh, but let me tell you something tonight. If we can get right with God, my brother, if we can get right with God, my sister, God will do something for us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? What we need to do tonight is call upon the name of Jesus, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. That's where the problem is. They want to do away with the name of Jesus. They want to talk about church. They want to talk about camp meeting. They want to talk about getting together. They want to talk about how many they have in Sunday school. They want to talk about their church organization. They want to talk about everything. But brother, the Bible said, and when I return, I will remember them that spake often of me. God didn't say nothing about remembering nobody that talked about little Bethlehem. Can you say amen? I said God didn't say anything about remembering anybody that talked about the Baptist church. He didn't say anything about remembering anybody that talked about the Pentecostal church or the Methodist church or the UPC or any other church. Is that right? Or how much money that he had made, or how that God had put him in business. You love the Lord? Or how good he was doing on his job. Amen. But he said, they that speak often of me, I will remember them, saith the Lord, when I return, and I will spare them as a man spareth his son, when I come to make up my jewels. Oh, hallelujah. We sing a song, talk about Jesus. Folks, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. You love talk about Jesus. Can you say Jesus? Can you say Jesus? Can you say Jesus? Hallelujah. Talk about Jesus, the song said. They that spake often of me, and remission of sin shall be taught in my name. But my people have forgotten me days without number. Oh, brother. Did you know that people go to church every day, every few days, every week? But did you know that some people go to church for months and the name of Jesus is never even mentioned in the sanctuary? Somebody say amen. I said they forget him days without numbers. Isn't that right? But I pray that a little Bethlehem, somebody will talk about Jesus. Brother Walker sings that song, when you see me coming, I've got him on my mind. Hallelujah. I want to talk about Jesus, don't you? I tell you what, if we'll start talking about Jesus, everything will be all right. You know the reason the churches are so full of devils and demons today? They don't talk about Jesus in the church. Did you know that? Did you know the Bible said the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous? Did you know that if they talk about Jesus, devils would go out all doors? Amen, that's right. Why? Because they said the devils are subject unto us in your name. You sit down and take a conversation about Jesus and see if the devil don't say, if you'll excuse me, I've got something I got to do. If we'll believe on the Lord, the devil is subject to us in the name of Jesus. If we'll preach the gospel, then we'll preach the name of Jesus. If we'll preach remission of sin in the name of Jesus, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, right about this time, there's some wonderful things taking place. A lot of times I don't relate them, because when I relate these present day truths, as we refer to it, revelation, I kind of lose some of my congregation because they don't understand. You know, Paul one time made a statement. He said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. How many know what the spirit of revelation is? You know, John had the spirit of revelation. How many believe that? He said, Brother Pike, what kind of revelation? Well, it says in the very beginning, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Read it over there. Paul said the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what we preach, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. That's what we need in the church tonight, folks. When we have the spirit of revelation, God reveals things to us. He lets us know what's happening. In the last few days, I've seen some great and mighty things happening. I don't feel to relate them tonight. I was going to relate them tonight. Somehow or another, I felt not to do it. But I had a whole string of them tonight that if the Lord would let me, I was just going to relate. But we got quite a number of visitors here tonight, and I'm sure that some of them would not understand if I talked about these kind of things. So it would be better that I just do everything unto edifying tonight toward those that would not understand. But it is so wonderful when you walk in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you walk in the knowledge of God and you can see what the Lord is saying every day. You see Him, you hear Him, you understand His desire. You know what the present day holds from day to day. You understand what God is saying. Oh, brother, sister, it is so wonderful. It is a thrill that is beyond measure. I'm going to say this tonight. I know revelation is great. It doesn't matter when revelation comes or what it has to say. It is the voice of God. It is the revelation of God. It is the revealing of God Himself. And it is great and it is mighty. So then you cannot say that revelation at this time is greater than revelation at another time, because revelation is great. But I can say this, that according to the time element that is involved at this moment, the things that are transpiring in the Spirit, according to the time element, line upon line, precept upon precept, and in this age that we're living in, because we're so far along, the revelation of God at this moment is the greatest and the most beautiful it's ever been in the history of mankind. Oh, how wonderful and breathtaking it is. I've been watching it for the last couple of days, and it is so beautiful. So beautiful. I'm so glad that God had mercy on me. You know, the Lord knew that I couldn't survive like some preachers. I just couldn't do it. Some preachers, you know, you just give them a little something and they can go on their way. But He knew I couldn't do that. My soul painteth after God like the heart does the water brook, David said. And He knew I couldn't do that. So He just opened up heaven to me. And He just feeds me and gives me that cool, refreshing water. That's the only way I could survive, folks. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that God does that for me. I'm so thankful. He said here, and I'm going to close in saying these things tonight, but He said here tonight in the scriptures, He said, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said there has been many prophets and many great kings and wise men that have longed to see what you're seeing and to hear what you hear. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Now, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that you're seeing and hearing something that the prophets didn't get. What do you think? Hallelujah. I'm just telling you what the book said. He said, and many prophets, come on now, said many prophets would like to have taken a look at what you're looking at. Isn't that right? Somebody said, I wish I was a prophet. I wish I was a prophet. How'd you like to be a son of God? To as many as believe gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on His name. And the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the sons of God have been here. And said, he that is least in the kingdom or son of God is greater than the prophets. Somebody say amen. That's the very body of God itself. That's the very membership of Christ itself. Is that right? That is the very body, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. That's the very Lord Jesus Himself walking the earth. Isn't that right? Do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. For they're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to be a son of God tonight? Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. So many things I'd like to say tonight. You know, I always get excited. No matter how calm I start off, I always wind up the same way. I used to tell myself, I'd say, Brother Pike, you ain't never going to get excited like that no more and scream at them people. You ain't going to do it. You're going to be dignified and stand up there and talk to them like a gentleman. But I always wound up hollering. And I'd done that so much, I said, well, I'm just going to forget about it. If it's holler, holler, I will. God, you'll just have to have mercy on me. You love Jesus? All right. Some people can do that, every man after his own order. The Lord didn't order me that way. I guess it's like a Cadillac and a T model. You get a Cadillac, it'll just purr down the road. But if you get an old T model, it'll chug and jump and chug and jump. But you know what? This don't sound good, but I used to have a better time in my uncle's T model than I do in my Cadillac. That's right. We go down across the country hills, down the road. Sometimes we had to pull it out of the mud hole, and sometimes we had to fix a flat tire. It was always air conditioned. We had a good time. Everybody was happy. So then, I guess it just depends on what you grew up with and what you like, you know. Some people like steak. I'd rather have a piece of fried meat. My wife, she fusses at me a little bit, but I really mean that. I'd rather have me a good fried piece of Strickland. Because that's what I come up on. A lot of times we didn't have that. We had fat back. Sometimes we didn't have that. We had gravy. But it's wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? Over at Sears today, coming back, my daughter kept saying, Daddy, I want this. I want this. Another one said, Daddy, I want that. I said, well, it's just too bad. Your daddy's a poor boy. If you'd have married your mother had married somebody outside of a poor boy, you'd been all right. But it just worked out like that. So I can't do nothing about it. If that's your order, that's your order. Isn't that right? Some people are millionaires. Some people are poor boys. I just happen to be one of the poor boys. Some people got a lot of money, got money to spare. Takes all I can do to keep up. How about you? I remember Sister Allen one time, a great woman. I believe Sister Allen's a great woman. Before Brother Allen had his problems, he used to be, you know, back in his early ministry, was a great man, powerful. His wife. She wrote a little article one time and she said, well, in our early ministry, it didn't take but just a few dollars for us to go across town, across the hill. Said, we always made it. Said, the Lord always met the need. She said, but now, said, it takes many, many multiplied thousands of dollars. Said, then we had just enough. Said, it's the same way now. Said, we just got enough. Said, that's all. Just enough. It's like I told my wife one time. I said, the Lord said he'll meet the needs. He didn't say he'd give me so much. He said he'd meet my needs. If my needs today is a dime, he'll meet it. If they increase to a dollar tomorrow, he'll meet it. If they increase to $10 the next day, he'll meet the needs. You know what's wrong with the evangelists? They got a $2 need and they're pulling for a half a million. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Praise the Lord. Somebody believes in what I'm preaching. Praise the Lord. I'm not being critical, folks. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Now, I've said it so many times. I know evangelists have to have a lot of money. I know that we do. Takes many multiplied thousands of dollars. As a matter of fact, what we're doing right now, it's going to take $100,000 or $125,000 at least just to get our program over. The next few weeks, the Lord's met some of it, but the Lord will meet it. But I've said this, and I still believe it. A lot of evangelists have gotten so bad off about taking money they really don't need. They just take them enough money. They got one radio station, they want to buy another, and they got one TV station, and they want to buy another, and they got one mansion, and they want to buy another, and one parcel of ground, and they want to buy another, and they've got money in the Bank of America, and they're trying to evade income tax, so they put it in the Bank of Sweden, put it under another name. They've been caught doing this.
Some has been named as Pentecostal preachers too. But I made a statement, you know, they take so much money pulling all the time that you would have thought that God said, take up your offering and follow me rather than take up your cross. Whereas he said, take neither two pair of shoes or staff or coat or whatever. They pull and push and tug. And somebody said, as soon as I get a quarter of a million, I'm going to evangelize. You just watch. I'm packing the back. I'm getting ready. I tell you what will happen. You might pack back about a quarter of a million. When the Lord gets ready for you to evangelize, he's liable to exchange it for a cross. He's liable to exchange it for a cross. Like the man that was going to go preach. You've heard me tell it a number of times. I told him I was preaching in prayer meeting at his home. I said, brother, the Lord spoke to my heart. I perceive you're supposed to be carrying the gospel, sir. Oh, yes, I'm going to carry the gospel. I know that you're right. And the Lord has told me, and I'm planning to do it. You know, the man, he meant well. He meant well. But that man had procrastinated on the Lord. And he had told the Lord, said he'd go preach just as soon as he got his home paid for. Had him a nice little home. And he said, Lord, I'll go preach. He told him, said, just as soon as he got his home paid for, said, I'll go out there and I'll take care of your business. You don't have to worry. I'll preach. The Lord told him that was all right. If that's what he wanted, it'd be all right. So he went on and he paid for his little home. When he paid for his little home, he was ready to preach. But out back of the house, he had a lake. Had some children. And I believe it was his little boy happened to venture out too close to the lake. And he was drowned. He had to bury his little boy. And the Lord gave him a cross as he went out to preach. He paid a big price. He paid for his house. Folks, you don't do things like that. Did you know that? You don't do things like that. When the Lord tells you to do something, all you do is say, yes, I'm on my way. A lot of times around here, folks, I see the leaders. They'll say, would you help me, brother? Well, I would, but I'm busy right now. They say, would you, sister, would you help us? Oh, I'm busy today. Well, it's okay. And the job gets done, you know, and the brother, he doesn't help. He's busy. He'd rather lay down and rest or he's got to go somewhere. So as a consequence of that, he doesn't have the time. But one of these days, though the job is getting done, one of these days, the harvest is going to come up. And the ones that had time to do something for God's going to be gathering their harvest. But you're going to be gathering yours too. There's going to be heartaches for you. In all them days that you thought that you got by when the Lord said, that's all right, go and do whatever you want to do. You're going to find out that you paid a price for all those things. You paid a price for all those things. Men like Brother Webster, when they give their land to God, the others use their land for something else. All of them going to collect a salary for that. They're going to collect a reward for that. They're going to get a reimbursement on that. When you use your car for one thing and the other fellow uses it for another, and you use your money for one thing and the other fellow uses it for another, you use your life for one thing and another fellow uses it for another, there's going to come a day when you're going to cash in on what you've been doing. It's coming to pass, folks. When you interfere with the services of God and you're restless, non-concerned, and pay no attention and drift from room to room and back to and fro in your mind and walking here and there. It looks like you get by with it. Interfere in the service and take your own liberty and do your own thing. Run headlong into God. It looks like you get by with it, but there's a payday. Just be patient. There's a payday. You that roam around in the world and do your frolics and do your sins and all those things, and after you fed to the full from the hog pens of the world, if you'll pardon my expression, and you say, I think I'll go back and get in the church. So you come back and you stay a few months to be numbered with the saints, and then you go back out, get back with the world to reproach God again just long enough to let them know that you've been to church. And they number you with the saints of God, and they blast the saints of God, and they blast the house of God. Then you run back to the house of God just long enough to stay affiliated with the house of God in the sight of them out there, just to reproach the house of God. You're going to collect your dues one of these days. You're going to collect your dues. God's going to get you one of these days. It's going to be a tragic thing, but he's going to get you. When you fuss and fight with your neighbor, and you fuss and fight with your brother and sister, and you've got such a temper, you say, well, I just can't help it. You blow up at everybody, and you want to smack everybody, as we say. You want to have a temper fit with everybody, and then you want to come to the house of God. The Lord's going to get you. Say, I just can't help it. Oh, yes, you can help it. Don't lie against the truth. You can help it. You don't have to go to the frolics of the world. You don't have to have a temple. You don't have to lust after the flesh. I feel a change in the atmosphere. Seems like springtime's over and winter's set in. All the flowers are withering up. The sweet aroma's leaving. You know, angels are like little bees buzzing around, making honey all the day and making melody like the little birds, looking for the little honey bud, looking for the nectar. But folks, I'm telling you the truth. Have a love for the truth. It'll deliver you. If you have not a love for the truth, the Lord will turn you over to your own thinking, let you believe a lie and do what you want to. And too late, the reward will come and you'll collect the debt, the dues, and you'll find out it was the wrong thing. It wasn't what you thought. Just have faith in his word. That's the only faith there is. All the paths of God are peace. The children of God are called peacemakers. He that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus, he'll have perfect peace. Think right. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Don't speak evil against your neighbor. Love one another. Love is of God. Love one another. Submit yourselves one to another. Esteem others better than yourself. Look on the things of another rather than the things of yourself. Let's just lift our hands up just for a moment and pray before we sing this little song. Father of heaven, precious, wonderful, heavenly Father, oh, blessed, eternal Father of heaven, these dear, beloved people tonight, oh, they're so precious, my Lord. They're so precious. They must be precious, Jesus. Lord, you would not have gone to Calvary were they not precious. Lord, you would not have spilled your blood if they were not very dear, Heavenly Father. They must be very dear and very precious. Oh, Holy Father, I ask of thee tonight to heal these bodies. I ask of thee tonight to save these people. I ask of thee tonight to deliver. My God, in Jesus' name tonight, to do something great and mighty and outstanding in your great and mighty name, Jesus. Oh, Holy Father, as we lift up our hands to heaven tonight to worship, to believe, to trust in you, Jesus, great and mighty God of heaven. Oh, Holy Father, Holy Father, Lord, we worship thee tonight. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Can you sing it with me now? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. Can you come to the altar tonight? And I'll sail those wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. One more time. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail those wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Can you lift your hands up and love him tonight? You know, Jesus loves us tonight. Jesus said, if you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. It is so hard for human beings to believe such simple statements. For if ye should ask anything in my name, I would do it. I would do it because I love you. I would do it because it is my way of life to please you. I would do it because I would have you be happy. I would do it because this is what I want, that your joy should be full. How wonderful tonight to trust in Jesus. We sing that song, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now, for he will save you. He will save you if you'll only trust him now. Hallelujah. God is so good, my brother. God is so good, my sister. God is looking down out of heaven tonight to bless, to strengthen, to reward, to give us according to our faith, according to our desire. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't hold back on God. Don't draw back on Jesus. Don't wait too long. Oh, I see people failing along the way.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Don't you feel the Holy Ghost tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Ramandri Andraba Shita Ramandri Andrabo Sandrimi Andrabo Shandramanaya. Oh, Labandala Vasira Valiandalabo Shandri Andrabo Sandramanaya. Hallelujah. Can you believe Jesus? Can you praise God? Hallelujah. Can you love Him? Hallelujah. Uramandari and Rabo Shita Ramandari and Rabasita Ramandrabo Shandai. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. All you've got to do is believe, and God will do anything that you desire, anything that you ask Him. Anything that you want, God will give it to you. Hallelujah. How wonderful. How wonderful. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, Ramandari Andarabo Shita Ramandari Andaraba Sandai. Andalaromo Shita Ramandari Andaraba Sidabari Andarabo Shandaramanaina. Ilabandali Alabo Shandari Andarabo Shandaramasaya. Olavasi andali atalamo shirabeli andalabolo shandari andarabostaya. Uramarababasai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Uramandari andaramo shirabari andarabo shandari andaramo sandari andarabostaya. Ilamandali alabo shirabali andalabo sandari andarabo shandaramastai. Ola mandali alaba sandari andrabo shandra mastaya. Ola mali alaba sandari arabo shandari arabo sai. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to His wonderful name. If thou canst believe, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, praising the Lord tonight and standing here reminds me of the time when we was down in Centerville and we'd been preaching on the God of Elijah. When Brother John Lane and his daughter was standing there, and she had swallowed that plastic leaf and had been in college and had finished college, swallowed it when she was just real young. And the x-rays couldn't pick it up and she'd had breathing trouble all of her life. But we was preaching on God doing a miracle and on the God of Elijah. And we was telling the people to believe and praise the Lord. And about that time, up came the leaf. Up came the leaf after all the many years, about 12 years I believe it was. Just praising God, just believing God. You know, the Lord loves you, isn't that right? The Lord loves you. He's always wanting to do something for you. Always wanting to bless us and do something great. If you can believe, the Lord will do something for you. And if you're sick tonight, if you got problems tonight, afflictions tonight, God will do something for you. I'm expecting God to do great things. Are you expecting God to do great things? I'm expecting God to do great things. You know, every now and then I tell Chuck, I say, Chuck, when you going to get up and start walking around, fella? I'm expecting God to get him up out of that chair and to walk around. How are you expecting Chuck to get up there and walk around? I'm expecting God to do something great, Parse. You know, he said the feelings done come back into them legs when it wasn't supposed to. I'm expecting something else to take place now. That done happened. Expecting something else. Hallelujah. God is doing something great, something wonderful. Let's sing that little chorus. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Can we do that? Give me another key, Sister Sally. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter
His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Sing it again. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with